In the summer of 2002, Elon Musk flew to Russia twice. He wanted to buy two old Soviet intercontinental ballistic missiles, not to launch weapons, to send a small greenhouse to Mars. His plan was to fill it with seeds, film the plants growing in Martian soil, and broadcast the footage back to Earth. He called it Mars Oasis. The Russians didn't take him seriously. The meetings went badly. On the flight home the second time, Musk did the numbers and realized he didn't need to buy a rocket. He could build one at a fraction of the cost and use the savings to go to Mars properly. That flight is where SpaceX was born. And the greenhouse is still the point. He doesn't think of Earth as permanent. He thinks of it as the only place we've got. And that is a problem. Most people who think about space exploration think of it as curiosity, discovery, national prestige. Musk's framing is different. He thinks of humanity's current situation as dangerously fragile. Every civilization that has ever existed has eventually ended. Asteroids, pandemics, nuclear war, climate collapse, something else we can't predict. As long as all of humanity lives on one planet, the extinction of that planet is the extinction of our species. His argument for Mars is therefore not about adventure, it is about backup. He has said, on multiple occasions, that the goal is to make humanity multiplanetary before a civilization-ending event occurs on Earth. The specific target he has stated publicly is a self-sustaining city on Mars of at least 1 million people. Not a research station, not a temporary base. A city. Big enough that if contact with Earth were lost entirely, it could survive and keep going on its own. The vehicle meant to carry people to Mars is Starship. It is the largest rocket ever built. The first stage is called Super Heavy, and it stands about 71 meters tall. The full stack with the upper stage is roughly 122 meters, taller than the Statue of Liberty by a significant margin. What makes it different from any rocket that came before is that both stages are designed to land and be reused, ideally within hours of launching. In 2024 and 2025, SpaceX achieved something previously thought impossible, catching the Super Heavy booster in the mechanical arms of the launch tower on its return, rather than landing it on legs. The ambition is to fly the same rocket the same day, the way an aeroplane is turned around between flights. The cost of reaching orbit has historically been measured in thousands of dollars per kilogram of payload. Musk's stated goal for Starship is to reduce that by two orders of magnitude. The economics of getting to Mars only work if the cost of a flight eventually resembles that of a long-haul plane ticket, not a satellite launch. While Starship is being built for Mars, a different project has quietly become SpaceX's largest business. Starlink is a network of satellites in low Earth orbit that provides broadband internet to anyone with a small dish antenna. As of mid-2026, there are over 10,000 operational Starlink satellites in orbit. To put that in perspective, before Starlink launched in 2019, there were roughly 2,000 satellites of all types in orbit around Earth, from all countries and companies combined. SpaceX has now launched more satellites than the entire history of the space age before it. The network covers approximately 160 countries and serves more than 12 million subscribers. By the end of 2025, Starlink had generated roughly $11 billion in annual revenue, making it SpaceX's single largest business segment. The democratic framing Musk uses for Starlink is this. In much of the world, reliable broadband internet requires physical infrastructure, cables and towers and exchanges. That governments and telecoms have not built and may never build in remote or underserved areas. Starlink bypasses all of that. A farmer in rural Kenya, a fishing community in Alaska, a humanitarian aid worker in a conflict zone, all of them can now get the same internet connection as someone in a city center, as long as they have power and a dish. During the war in Ukraine, beginning in 2022, Starlink terminals became critical communications infrastructure for the Ukrainian military and civilian population within days of the invasion. It was the first time in history that a private satellite constellation had played a decisive role in a major armed conflict. That role, and the political questions it raised about who controls the network and under what conditions, has not been fully resolved. In April 2022, Musk began buying shares of Twitter. By the time he made his takeover offer, he had accumulated a 9.1% stake, making him the largest shareholder. The acquisition closed in October 2022 for $44 billion. He fired the existing leadership, changed the name to X, and repositioned the platform around a concept he called the Everything App. The free speech framing he used in justifying the purchase was genuine in the sense that he believed the previous management had suppressed content he regarded as legitimate political speech. But the longer-term vision is different. He has talked about X becoming the platform for commerce, banking, payments, conversation, and media all in one. The model he has cited publicly is WeChat in China, an application through which hundreds of millions of people do nearly all their digital life: messages, payments, business, news, entertainment, government services. His argument is that the United States and most of the English-speaking world does not have an equivalent, and that X is the attempt to build one. There is one thing Musk says is the greatest threat to civilization that most people in public life have not yet taken seriously: not climate change. Not climate change. Not AI risk, though he worries about that too. Population decline. He has said repeatedly that the collapse in birth rates across the developed world, and increasingly in developing countries, is the most underappreciated risk facing humanity. His argument is demographic. An aging population with a shrinking workforce cannot maintain the complexity of modern civilization. The infrastructure, the innovation, the institutions, the supply chains that make modern life possible all require a large, young, productive population to sustain them. When that population shrinks, everything becomes harder to maintain. He has pointed to Japan and South Korea as early examples of what a low birth rate civilization looks like: declining workforce, falling tax revenues, rising dependency ratios, political gridlock around immigration. His own response has been personal. He has stated that he has around a dozen children and has described having children as a civic duty in the same way he describes going to Mars as a survival imperative. Pull these things together and a pattern emerges. Mars is about making humanity's survival independent of any single catastrophe on Earth. Starlink is about making internet access independent of the physical infrastructure that governments and telecoms have failed to build. X is about making the public square independent of the centralized decisions of a single set of content moderators. The population concern is about making sure there are enough humans to do all of this. The consistent theme across all of it is a distrust of single points of failure. A distrust of institutions that have become too centralized, too slow, or too captured by narrow interests. He frames himself as someone trying to build redundancy into civilization itself. Critics point out that a man who controls rockets, the world's largest satellite constellation, a dominant social media platform, and one of the world's most valuable car companies is himself an extraordinary concentration of power. The redundancy he builds into civilization is, in large part, redundancy that runs through him. It is worth sitting with that tension honestly, because it is real. The critique of Musk's world-saving framing is not simply that he is wrong about the problems he identifies. He may well be right that Earth is fragile, that internet access is unequally distributed, that birth rates are falling. The critique is about the answer. Planetary civilizational resilience built through the decisions of one person and their private companies is a different thing from collective humanity choosing its own future. When Starlink made decisions about network access in the Ukraine conflict, those were decisions made by one company, ultimately by one person. When X makes decisions about speech, they are made by one person's judgment about what counts as free speech. The irony is that Musk's stated goal is a more resilient, distributed, multi-planetary human civilization. But the path he is building runs through a level of individual control over critical infrastructure that has no precedent in human history. A few things nobody knows here. Nobody knows whether a self-sustaining Mars colony is actually possible. The technical challenges, radiation, atmosphere, water, food, psychological isolation over years in transit, are not trivial, and serious aerospace researchers have questioned whether Starship's current architecture can even execute the mission. Nobody knows whether X will become the everything app, or whether it will struggle to reach that ambition in markets dominated by different platforms and different regulatory environments. Nobody knows whether the population decline he worries about will prove as catastrophic as he believes, or whether human societies will adapt in ways that are harder to predict than the demographic projections suggest. There is a version of Elon Musk that is straightforwardly heroic, a person who looked at the biggest problems facing humanity and decided to work on all of them at once, with more resources and ambition than almost anyone in history. And there is a version that is something more complicated, a person whose certainty about what humanity needs and whose ability to act on that certainty raises questions about who gets to decide the future of civilization. Both of those versions might be true at the same time. The rockets are real. The satellites are real. 12 million people have internet who might not otherwise. And the questions about power and accountability are real too. What kind of world a man who builds rockets to Mars, satellites that cover the Earth, and platforms that shape public conversation is building, and for whom, is one that will take decades to answer.